This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is program number 15 of this series. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. All are welcome to all of our services. We've been using this time on the radio to talk about Proverbs 17:22. Where it says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And we've been talking about a merry heart and how that's good for our health and how the Bible shows us how we can have a merry heart. In fact, it's the teachings of the Bible that give us a merry heart. Now, in talking about this, we made reference to the book of Ecclesiastes. And some have the idea that the book of Ecclesiastes must be the most depressing book in the Bible. And I suppose it is, if like Solomon, your attention is on things under the sun. That's one of the key phrases in the book, under the sun. We're talking about things of the earth that are perishable and temporal. And as we read through the book of Ecclesiastes, by the time we get to the end of it, we see that the very ability that we have to enjoy these kinds of things perish and pass. Now, if that's where your mind is focused, on things of this earth and on things under the sun, then the book of Ecclesiastes will be a depressing book for you to read, because you're going to find out that all that is vanity. But if you're focused on things over the sun, if you're focused on spiritual things, eternal things, then it's not a depressing book at all. Rather, it's a confirmation of your faith that you've got your heart on the right kind of things. Now, have you ever thought about contrasting the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament with the book of Philippians in the New Testament? If Ecclesiastes can be called the most depressing book in the Bible, well, the book of Philippians might be called the most joyful book of the Bible. And the difference is in the author. While Solomon had his mind for much of his life focused on earthly things, Paul was focused on things that were not of this earth. Now, Paul had earthly advantages, and he talks about that in the book of Philippians, but he also talks about how he gave them up that he might win Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. See, Paul already knew that the whole of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. And he was doing that with a focus on spiritual things rather than earthly things. And when it took the loss of all earthly things that brought him pleasure in this life, it was worth it to him for what was to come. And he kept trying to improve himself. While in the book of Ecclesiastes, you see the deterioration of the flesh. In the book of Philippians, we see the growth of the spirit. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, something to think about here is down a little bit further in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, where he says, our conversation is in heaven,
from which also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. That word conversation has to do, well, a lot of times the word means a manner of life, but here it's translated in another translation, the American Standard Version, our citizenship. Paul considered himself a citizen of heaven. He was only dwelling on the earth as a sojourner, and like Abraham, he's just passing through, and he's looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. And while we see in the book of Ecclesiastes how the body deteriorates in the last chapter, and the evil days come, and the things in which we have pleasure, we no longer have pleasure, the body becomes vile. But what does Paul say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21? He says that the Lord Jesus Christ shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So Paul had his hopes and his ideals and his dreams and his thoughts on things above, and that gave him joy. And then you've got to consider this. While the book of Ecclesiastes is written while Solomon was able to enjoy all the luxuries of earth and bask in his glory, and yet he found it vanity, nothing there, it didn't satisfy. Paul was writing the book of Philippians while he was in prison. He was in a Roman prison, having been unjustly accused, having made a very hazardous journey from Jerusalem to Rome to await his trial, and the trial itself had an uncertain outcome, and it could possibly mean his death. And yet he writes this very joyful epistle. He tells us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I know not, for I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for the furtherance of your joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. See, he writes as though he's not sure he's going to be released from prison. He might die, but even death he'd consider gain. He could be with Christ. That would be far better. But if he lives, he says in verse 26 of Philippians 1, your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. He knew if he lived, he could bring those brothers and sisters in Christ that he had in Philippi, he could bring them to joy by coming to them again. They would rejoice. And he talked about the furtherance and joy of faith. Did you see that expression? The joy of faith and the rejoicing in Jesus Christ. There is great joy in faith. There is great rejoicing in Christ due to the hope that we have in him and how it puts all these passing worldly things into perspective. Now, I want to look at some of the joy passages in the book of Philippians. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. As he begins this letter, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. One of the spiritual qualities that gave Paul such a life of joy was his attitude of thankfulness. And those in the church at Philippi, hearing that Paul was in Rome, had sent him some aid and relief so he could sustain himself. And he's writing this like a big thank you note, thanking God upon every remembrance of you. And he could request with joy that their fellowship would continue as it had all these years. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 15, He talks about how there were those that were talking about Christ in and about the prison and the palace where he was there in Rome in an attempt to make things harder on Paul. But even though they were speaking with an ill intent, hoping that it would bring damage to Paul, yet because of what they were saying, it was proclaiming the Christ that Paul had preached, and they obviously had to include the fact that he'd risen from the dead, and so word was getting out about Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 15, Paul says, "Some preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." What was it that made Paul so joyful? It was the spiritual things. It was the fact that, well, this might prove tough on him, but it's going to bring glory to Christ. And that's where Paul's mind was focused. A lot of people are miserable because all they can focus on are themselves. But Paul had his mind on Jesus. We read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." Again, Paul's focus is now on his brethren and how much joy he would have in knowing his brethren were loving one another and helping one another. In Philippians 2, in verse 16, he tells them to hold forth the word of life. Now notice, "that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For this same cause do you joy and rejoice with me." See, Paul's joy would be that when Christ comes, they would be found in Christ and be faithful. They'd been holding forth the word of life. And then he wanted them to joy in him as he joyed in them. "The service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all," he said. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 28. And Paul's talking about a man named Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus had come bringing those gifts from the Philippians to Paul, and he had become sick, but he had recovered. And Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 28, he sent him back and said, "I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness." They would joy in the good health of their fellow servant. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Brethren, rejoice in the Lord." In Philippians 4, in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." And in Philippians 4, in verse 10, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." Joy, joy, joy all throughout the book of Philippians. If you ever think about sitting down and feeling sorry for yourself, go see what Paul did. Paul had a joy because he had his mind on spiritual things. And in Philippians 4 and verse 8, he said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I'm Bill Boyd. You may email or text me at WMHBOYD@AOL.com.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.